number of scriptures we'd like to read together as we consider the subject of the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper as it's called. Read first of all, please, in the Gospel by Luke, and in chapter number 22, Luke's Gospel, and in chapter number 22, please. Luke chapter 22, verse number 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go, and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And he shall say unto the good man of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake. And gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do, in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Over to the book of the Acts, please, and in chapter number 2. The book of the Acts, please, and chapter number 2. And verse number 41. That's chapter 2 and verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Chapter 20, please, of the same book. Chapter 20 and verse number 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Over to Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians, please, and in chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians and in chapter number 11. From verse number 23. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake and said, Take eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. And what the Lord to add a blessing upon the reading of his precious word this evening. We come to the subject of the breaking of bread. It's something perhaps that we can sometimes become rather familiar with, and we can think that we kind of rely on what we know. But it's interesting when we come afresh to look at it, that there are things that you learn afresh as we come to look at it this evening, and trust that what we have to say will come with freshness and be a help and encouragement and our understanding of it. In particular, as we come to 1 Corinthians, because there is a practical aspect to it as well. We've got to be in a condition that we do not eat and drink unworthily. So, we want to come, especially to 1 Corinthians, as time will allow this evening. But we've read this evening from the Gospel by Luke and also in Acts. And I think as we think on the subject of the breaking of bread from the Gospel records now, we've read from Luke 22, but it's also recorded for us in Matthew chapter 26. And in Mark chapter 14, and we've read in Luke 22, and I think there we could, if we take the accounts of the gospel records, and as we think of them, we could think of the origin of the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper. And I think from the verses that we read in the book of Acts, from chapter 2 and in chapter 20, I think we have the example of the disciples that we read over Acts chapter 20, that came on the first day of the week to break bread. And then I think when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think we've got the teaching in relation to the breaking of bread. Or I think just to come back to, we've been hearing a lot about alliteration recently, so if we think of the Gospels, we can think of the breaking of bread established in the Gospels. We have the example in the book of the Acts, and we have the explanation in the book of in the epistle of 1 Corinthians. So that's where we are kind of outline of where we want to go this evening. Thinking of the establishment and the example and the explanation of it. But you know, if we think of it, we think of the background to what has happened here, especially from the gospel writer's point of view, we find that Judas, that he's about to commit his deed. He has negotiated with the chief priests a price to betray the Lord Jesus. And then a scene of darkness, and then a scene of evil. The plot has been put out that they might arrest and kill the Lord Jesus. And it's against that background that he takes his own into the upper room, that he might spend time alone with them before he suffers. I was thinking, what would be the Lord Jesus thinking? What would be his emotions? As he knew all things and does know all things, and he knew all that was taking place, and yet he withdraws himself with a few of his own, that he might spend this time with them, and that's when he institutes the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper. Here do we not see something of his divine love? Having spent in the last few moments, as it were, with his own, gathered around him, and instituting a feast that would go down through the centuries, and has come right on until our day and in our generation, that we might simply do as he has said, that we might remember him. For we're reminded last week there were only two ordinances given. One was baptism, and the other is the breaking of bread. And we find again that the Lord Jesus has given us this, that we might remember him. And as we think this evening of the Gospels, and as we think of the record that's contained there in the three Gospels, in particular Matthew, Mark and Luke, we find and take them all together, there's a preparation that has to be made. For if you were to read the three Gospel accounts, it says, "Fair will we that we prepare, that you may eat the Passover." So there was a preparation there had to be made so the Passover meal would take place. And as they were there in their preparation, and we find as we read the gospel records that there was a place that was prepared for the Lord Jesus had given them the instruction, as we'll come to in a minute, they'd given them the instruction to go into the city. And there they would find a man, and they'd follow that man. And then they said they were to ask him where the guest chamber would be, that where they would prepare the Passover for him. So preparation had to be made. A place had to be prepared. And as we think of preparation, we think of preparation that has to be made to gather, as we do in our Lord's Day morning. There's preparation in relation to the place. The chairs have to be set out. The table has to be set with the bread and the wine. There's a preparation that has to be made. But there's preparation that you and I even need to make before we come. And we'll say more about that as we come to 1 Corinthians. But there is for a moment, but there's a preparation that has to be made. And just the same for that night, there was preparation that needed to be made. But there was instruction too that was given to the disciples. There was instruction given as to where they were to go, and who they would see, and what they were to say. And we find that we too, that we have the Word of God. We're not left in any doubt as to what we're to do, it's how we're to gather. It's all in the Word of God. There is instruction being given to us that we might do so in an orderly way and in a way that would honour our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only as we look at the gospel records as a preparation and instruction, but there is obedience. For he said to them to go, and it says that they went and they found. If you look through the records, you see each time that they went, each gospel record will tell us that they found just as it was. The one who sent them, the one who knew all things, he knew exactly what was taking place. And in obedience, they had to go. Now we too, we need to be obedient. And wherever possible, on the first day of every week, to remember him. As we will see as we come to the book of Acts, it's not an optional extra. It's one of the privileges of being in the assembly fellowship, is to be to remember the Lord on the first day of every week, if possible. But not only do we notice their obedience, but there was a time when they came together for each of the gospel records to say that he came and sat down with the disciples, with the 12, there was an appointed time. And so you and I, there is an appointed place. The place here. I believe God has placed his name in a locality that a little group of Christians can come together and do as he has requested to remember him. And as you shall see later, not only just to remember him, but various other things that takes place. But not only was there an appointed time, Matthew and Mark will tell us it was in the evening. When we come to the Gospel by Luke, he will tell us that the hour had come. For them it was in the evening time. For us we gather in the morning. It doesn't matter if we gather just to remember him at the appropriate time, different countries of different time scales, but we gather just to remember him. Some, as we gather in the morning, some are sleeping. But then as we go to sleep, some are arising. And are gathering just to do as he is, to fulfill his command and to remember him. It was his hour. The Lord Jesus was speaking in John chapter 13 of his hour. There were many hours recorded in the gospel. But he knew in John 13, he says he knew that his hour had come. And for you and I, there is an appointed place here. There is an appointed hour when we come. The time has been set aside. The place has been prepared. And wonder, is it our longing desire to be in the place at the appointed time to do as he has said and to remember him? The Gospels would remind us of preparation that has to be made, of instruction that was given to them, of an obedience that is required, of a time that was set aside. And you and I, there is a place that has been prepared, and there is that need to make preparation ere we come to the point. But when we come to the book of Acts, we find that in Acts chapter 2, it says, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. When we come to the book of the Acts, we find that the breaking of bread is just not an isolated thing. It's not just one thing that they continued in, but they continued in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. It was part of a pattern that God had laid down in his word, that each local company should gather to. There should be a place that we can gather for the teaching of the word of God, for fellowship, to remember him, and in prayers. And from Acts chapter 2, we can see quite clearly that it is continually, not a one-off, not a once-a-month exercise, or once-a-year exercise, but we find that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread. So we have the continuance of that pattern which has been laid down in Acts chapter 2, and it continues unto today, and will continue, as we shall see, until he shall come and take us to be forever with himself. So from Acts chapter 2 we find that it's a continued steadfastly in these things. Now the challenge to each of us this evening is, are we continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers? Do we make it our habit to be with God's people in local testimony on the days and the times when these activities are arranged? Is it our desire to be here? I wonder tonight if we've lost something of the desire to be here. I wonder if we've lost something of the sense that we don't just gather together to see each other and to have fellowship with each other, but I wonder if we lost the sense in our own hearts at times that we really gather to meet with him. I wonder, is that before us? Do we really believe that each time that we gather for every activity of the assembly that Christ is here? We read in Matthew 18 and 20 that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And if we believe that he is in our midst, and he is here every time we would gather, surely the least we could have would be a desire to be here to meet with him. He is more important than meeting with each other. We come to meet with him. And the Hebrew writer would encourage us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. And within each one of us there is the possibility that we might lose the joy and the thrill of gathering together, and we might get into a position where we would rather stay away than meet with the dear saints in local testimony and fellowship. And plus this evening we all feel the weight and the burden, the weight of that. It's not easy to say. And I'm not casting stones at anybody, please don't misunderstand me. But I feel the weight and the burden of this tonight. That if we realise that Christ is here, then we have a desire, we should have a desire to be here. To meet with him. The one who's done so much for us. The one who gave himself that our sins might be forgiven. And he's asked us to remember him. And to come together that we might do so. The writer of this 122nd Psalm says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'll be glad to come. Is there a joy in our hearts to come? Or do we find that a chore and difficult? And I know there are so many problems and difficulties that come upon each of us. And we find it easy to stay away. But how good to come together and to receive help and encouragement from each other. You won't find that sitting at home. You won't find that taking an easy route out and staying away. Sitting with your feet up. For everyone has difficulties and problems just the same. But if we can all come together, enjoy fellowship together, share each other's burdens. Each one has a concern, for that's what an assembly is. It's coming together that we enjoy and have each other to pray for. I wonder, I'm glad to pray for each other. We might pray on a Sunday when we're together. We might pray on a Monday night when we're together. We might pray every second Saturday morning when we're together. What about the days in between? May it be that as we pray for each other, it might save us criticising each other. It might see us trying to help each other. And that we might be drawing closer together in our purpose and in our desire for the community to see it reached in one for the Lord Jesus. So they continued steadfastly in these things. We come to Acts chapter 20. We find that they continued. Acts chapter 20 is upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Simple instruction. Simple to read and to say, but it's sometimes difficult to understand. It was upon the first day of the week. The first day of the week for us is Sunday. So we come and we gather and we break bread and to remember him. It was a regular thing. It was the first day of the week, and the idea that it's the first day of every week that they came together. And through the reading of Acts chapter 20, you will find that he stayed for 7 days, so that he was able to break bread with them there at Troas. So that it's the first day of every week that we're together. So it's a regular thing, the first of every week. But then they came together to break bread. And as you read through the book of the Acts, you'll find this expression often used, they came together. So that puts away any idea of breaking bread, sitting in the house by yourself, or being anywhere else, sitting, breaking bread with two or three. It says that they came together to break bread. So from the reading of the Word of God, you'll find that those in a given locality, that they came together to break bread and to enjoy fellowship together. So we have the idea again, I'm not going to label the point again, about the need to come together to enjoy fellowship, to remember the Lord Jesus, and to be involved in service for him. So from the gospel records, I suggest again that we've seen preparation, instruction, obedience, a time. And then from the book of the Acts, we've seen that continually we have to do it regularly, and they came together for the purpose of that. Now the first day of the week, just The first day of the week has a number of references in the New Testament, and associated with it from Luke chapter 24, the first day of the thought of resurrection. In Acts chapter 20 here we've got the thought of remembrance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 we've got the thought of responsibility. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10 there is a thought of a revelation that had been given to John the male of Patmos. Here was a day that was set apart, a day that was hallowed. It was the first day of the week. The first day of the week, it was special. And I know the first day of the week might seem as if it's a busier day than some other days, but it's the first day of the week that's been set apart. It's been set apart for the Lord Jesus. But not only was it a day they hallowed, but it was the fellowship they enjoyed, for they came together. And we won't enjoy fellowship if we don't come and meet with the saints. And we really need, in our day and in our generation, to maintain our fellowship with each other and have our fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And the privilege they shared was to break bread and the message that they heard Paul preach unto them. But we won't continue until midnight, as Paul did. But there we are, it was me and Paul got away with preaching until midnight. But I want to come to 1 Corinthians and look at some of the teaching which is given in relation to the purpose. I think there are two main thoughts in the purpose of coming together for this. The first one is to remember the Lord Jesus, and the second is to proclaim or to show forth his death until he come. To remember the Lord Jesus and to proclaim or show forth his death until he come. This would be the only meeting where the primary purpose is for us to give something to God. When we come together to remember the Lord Jesus, we have come to worship him. As we think of all the other activities that we might be involved in, as we come to meet, we come to ask, as we come to pray, or we come to receive from him, as we gather to receive the teaching of the Word of God. But really the thought is that as we come to the breaking of bread or the Lord's Supper, we come primarily to give to him. And linked with meeting to break bread, that is what happens. And to remember the Lord Jesus, there is a dignity associated with what we do. We have to remember him. But when we come to think of the explanation of it from 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, we find where we read from verse 23 that the apostle says, "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." So we have Paul been given a revelation from God, and we have him communicating that message to us. Galatians chapter 1 would tell us that he neither received it from man nor of man. And we find here that he's emphasizing again, as it does in Galatians, that what he has been given to him from the Lord. And that which he had received, that which Paul had received, he had communicated unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When we gather together, the table has been set and the bread and the cup are upon it. And we think of the bread that reminds us of his body. Now the bread and the cup upon the table are only symbols of his body and of his blood. You know, there are those who try to say that the bread is his actual body and his blood and the cup is his actual blood. Well, you would find that hard to equate from the word of God, because as instituted the feast, the Lord Jesus was present. His body hadn't been given, his blood hadn't been shed. He was sitting there with the disciples and he was instituting the feast. So these things are only, the cup and the bread are only symbols of his body and of his blood. Matthew and Mark say that they were to take, eat, this is my body. But Luke says, this is my body, which is given for you. The apostle here says, this is my body which is broken for you. I thought that in the thought in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, in the thought of giving, I thought he had given his body as a sacrifice. And here in 1 Corinthians 11, associated with that, this is my body which is broken. I thought out of love, sacrifice and love, his body had been broken for you. And he says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. So suddenly we have to take the bread, we have to take it, we have to partake of it in remembrance of me. So this would remind us something of his incarnation. We think of his body. We think of that body which was broken, that would remind us something of his humiliation. And we remember it was for you. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after he had given thanks, he took the cup. This is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And as we partake of the cup, we're thinking of that blood that was shed. And we're thinking of that price that was paid. And we remember the words of Peter again tonight, that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. And we're brought before us in verse number 25, I think, of the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. The cup represents the New Testament in virtue of and grounded upon the blood of the Lord. This intimates that the old covenant had been set aside. Now, I don't want to get confused with covenants, but there is an old covenant, there is a new covenant. The old covenant had been set aside, Exodus 24. There had been intimation of a new covenant was made in Jeremiah chapter 31. And the outworkings of that is dealt with in the Hebrew letter in chapters 8 to 10. But it says this is new. In other words, it's new in that it is different in its nature and form from the old. According to Jeremiah, it was the covenant in Jeremiah, it was made with the houses of Israel and Judah, and will be enjoyed by them in a future day, when they will learn that it is based upon the sacrifice of the Messiah they rejected. But as believers now, we enjoy the benefits of that sacrifice. We enjoy the benefits of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus upon the cross of the coming day, when they will realise the one whom they rejected was the one who is indeed their Messiah. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Matthew's Gospel would tell us that in relation to the cup, the New Testament in my blood, it was for the remission of sins. That would remind us, that would be speaking to us in Matthew of the blood of the trespass offering. And what was important there was the nature of the sin. But when Mark, when you read in the record in Mark's Gospel, where Mark would say, when he is writing, he says, which is shed for many. And there we would have the blood of the sin offering referred to. And what is important there is was who had sinned, whether it be the priest, the ruler of the congregation, or one of the common people. And Luke says, in relation to the cup which is shed for you, which would speak to us of the blood of the peace offering, you being personal, reconciliation had been made effected. So as we think of the bread which has been broken in remembrance of his body, and his blood has been shed, and we are asked to do it, partake of these two things in remembrance of himself. Verse 26 says, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So we've got before us again in verse number 26, we've got the frequency of it for as often. We've got the proclamation, you should do show the Lord's death. And we've got the thought of his coming until he comes. So what he had instituted that night in the upper room has been continued through the ages, right down until the present day. and will continue and should continue until that day dawn when He will come and take us to be forever with Himself, and there will be no need for the symbol of the bread and the wine, for we will be taken out of this time and we will be in His presence, and we will be like Him, and we shall see Him as He is. Verse number 27 says, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. There is the possibility of partaking unworthily of the body and of the blood of the Lord. While we would be in a position, we would be positionally worthy because of our acceptance before God in Christ, but we could be in a condition unworthy because of our manner of life, because of our behaviour, because of our uncleanness, our unholiness. We could be in a way that we'd be eating and drinking unworthy and be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord Jesus. So we, as we come together, verse number 28, we're reminded both to examine ourselves and so let the meat of that bread and drink of that cup. But let a man examine himself. That's not just the males, but that's male and female. But let each examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Just as there had been preparation to be made for the room for the Passover to take place, then as we would seek to gather as we would, there's preparation of heart to be made that we might come in a manner that is pleasing to God. We might come in a way, having examined ourselves, that we are able to partake of the bread and of the cup. And in the words of our late brother Jack Hunter, no known sin in life. No known sin in life. As we come, we should come with all sin confessed. We could all come with any difficulties that we have resolved. If we've offended anyone, we should make that right before we come. That as you come to partake of the one cup and eat of the bread and drink of the cup, that we are not eating and drinking unworthily. So there is practical implications in all these things as we come together to remember the Lord Jesus. Is to partake of the emblems, to take of the bread, and to drink of the cup, then we have to do in a manner that is worthy of us. He does say in verse number 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You'll see there were many in the earlier part of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, they've been treating the breaking of bread just as a normal common feast. They've come to. And generally what would have happened in one of the common feasts as they came to at the end of that, the Lord's Supper would have been taking place at the end of that. But they had disregarded the total solemnity of the occasion of the Lord's Supper, and they brought it just as one of the normal feasts. And for that reason many were weak and sickly among you. I should have said just in But I'll say it now, just that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, as we think of the table in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I take as a table that we can come to every day of the week to partake of and to feast upon, but for our daily provision. But when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it is the table for the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Himself. The trust is seen in these few stammering remarks made upon this great subject. What could be said, but we'll leave it there. We trust the Lord being a help and encouragement to each other's hearts.